Hey. Hi everyone, it is Allison here for, I can't believe it's already our eighth call for the mentorship experience. That's amazing to me. Where's the time gone? My goodness. All right, so interesting that I didn't actually get any questions or points of clarification, which means, well, it could mean a couple of things, so I won't read into it. But know that just because this is, you know, our eighth call, it doesn't mean that the questions and answers stop here. So do get a hold of me, do ask those questions, do use this opportunity to its absolute fullest, please. And even when our 4 months is up, it's never really up. This is an ongoing process, so it's really a standing offer to continue to be of service in any way, shape, or form as we move forward together. So keep the Q&A coming. All right, my love, so we have a couple things to do today. I promised that we would do a demonstration today of the Vibrant Transformation Release Method. So we're going to do that. And then I have a new tool on partnership to share with you all. And then we'll see what our time looks like after that. I wouldn't mind having a few minutes left at the very end to do even just a little mini body talk session to integrate all eight of these experiences that we've been sharing and working with together in this mentorship process. Okay, so that's the game plan. We'll see how our time goes. And without further ado, we're going to get rolling. So Sylvie has agreed to be our demo for the Vibrant Transformation Release Method. And I'm going to show you a way today of working with it in, well, actually it's a new way that I haven't really played with a whole lot before on the release method. And it's when you're anchoring someone else, instead of having them do it out loud, it's to have them do it silently. So that way they don't have to have even just one more layer of verbal attachment to the story. We are simply looking at it in the same way that you might do the process if you are working with yourself, to do it in your head, to do it silently. So it's not really about out loud or silently, it's more about the depth of willingness, about the depth of being willing to own that. That's where the release comes from. You may have noticed that with all this work and all these tools that we've been using, they really all boil down to that one thing. What's the will behind the person undergoing the process? And the depth to which that exists is the depth to which healing can occur. It's one of the main staples of healing, is that sense of willingness. So this process, again, is really just designed to release shame by using it as a guide back to who it is you really are. Behind all the different judgments, behind all the different beliefs, I don't deserve this, is usually the big common theme here. And instead, stepping right into the ability to own this, it's a very courageous process, and in turn, allowing that self-compassion to bubble up, to set the stage for all that's ready to be released, to do just that, to release. Then in turn, there's often a much deeper, richer commitment to self, to living fully. Okay, so I'm going to go through the steps with Sylvie, and I know that you have heard the process of how this all works. If for some reason you're listening to this one without having listened to number 7, make sure you go back and listen to number 7 recording first. So that way you're already familiar with the process and how this all gets anchored and how it all works. Okay. Sylvie, my dear, just checking. Are you still up for being a demo and doing this process silently with me?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Sylvie. Okay, love. So beginning here by means of breathing, just giving yourself a few slow, deep breaths and just arriving here, getting really present. Using these first 30 seconds just for you, dropping any expectations of how you think this should look like, must look like, has to happen like, will feel like, etc.
Okay.
Okay. So now, without validating, without justifying, simply stating silently inside your head, I hurt, harm, diminished, etc., the name of the person or yourself, and then fill in the blank, when or by.
Okay. What is the by? When I understand the by, what does it mean?
I hurt myself by not honoring my promise to myself,
Okay,
for example.
I got it. Okay,
Yeah.
I'm going to do that in my head.
Okay. When you're complete, let me know.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for owning that. Breathe here. And yes or no, is there anything else about that? It doesn't have to make any sense, but is there anything else about that?
Yes, there is
Okay.
something popping up
So
right now.
trust that whatever shows up is perfect. Again, doesn't have to be logical. And again, form another sentence. I fill in the blank, hurt, harmed, crushed, betrayed, etc. The name, when or by, fill in the blank.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for owning that. So give that a slow deep breath. Is there anything else about that?
Not that is popping up right now. Maybe later, but for the moment now.
Okay. So again, give that a slow deep breath. Now, do you release yourself?
Well, that is difficult. Starting, but it's a difficult process.
Give it some space and time and see what happens. And if something else about that pops up, let me know. Otherwise, stay with your breath and let yourself know these words. I release myself. Or you could do, I release myself for, and then fill in the blank again. Again, doing
Okay.
it quietly until this feels complete for you. If something else pops up, let me know.
I am asking that person to forgive me.
Nope.
Nope.
This is the most fascinating part about this process. In our society, we often mix up forgiveness with release. And the thing about forgiveness is we often have a lot of concepts around what that means or what that should look like. So we're actually going around forgiveness, but it does the same effect and more powerfully so. We're actually heading to the process of releasing.
Okay.
So again, do you release yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
I release myself.
Thank you. Breathing
Yeah.
here. What do you commit to? Whenever we've released ourselves, which is a form of self-forgiveness in a much deeper level, there's a space that opens up often to commit or recommit to something. You might not even know what that commitment is, and that's okay. It's okay to sit with this question for a while. If you have anything now, and you don't even have to share it out loud, just noticing what do you commit to?
What is popping up, but maybe something else is going to come up in the next coming days. For the moment, it's just to be my better self. In listening, it's just to be my better self. In listening with your heart to others.
Cool focus. Excellent work, honey. Thank you for participating in this way. High five yourself. Pat yourself on the back.
Thank you. Thank
Yeah,
you, Alison,
you're
for
welcome.
holding. For holding that space. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
So this is one way that you can work with the release method that honors privacy. It allows for people to not even have to say that thing out loud, much like we often work in active memory with events that people may remember but not wish to share out loud. Especially when we're working with things that people have any level of shame or guilt about, there's often a sense of beating themselves up by just saying it out loud, even more so. So
Yeah.
rather than make the wounds, one layer deeper, it's really about giving people the opportunity to dive headfirst into that wound and own it. When we own it, it can actually be released. And as mentioned, that's a form of forgiveness in a very thorough, clean, whole manner. Often forgiveness ends up being, well, I forgive them for like that piece or for that part. To really truly forgive means to for I give back to myself. And what we're giving back to ourselves is the energy that we have when we're not spending all this time trying to defend the wound or hide the wound or protect the wound or keep it safe. When you address the wound, it frees up energy. And that's really what you're giving yourself back is that vitality, that essence that is your life force energy. I could wax poetically and philosophically for days on all of these finer points, but I digress for now. If you have any questions, comments, queries, please do share them with me. I'd love to hear your experiences around either working with this with yourself or connecting with somebody in the mentorship group to work with the process of release and having them anchor you, whether it's out loud or quietly, can often add a very different flavor to it. There's things that sometimes it's just easier to address with a partner. Not that it can't be done on your own, it's just often easier with an outside observation force, even when they don't know consciously what it is they're observing. It just often adds a completely different flavor to it all.
Here, personally, I felt that process would have been easier with you than on my own, so I'm very pleased I could do it with you.
Oh, thanks,
Yeah.
Sylvie. I appreciate you sharing that.
If it was silent, it was so helpful. Yeah.
Good, good. All right, everybody, we're going to switch gears here. So just give yourself a slow, deep breath. Okay, cool beans. So we're going to head into the handout that's posted there for your eighth call now. And this is the partnership ritual that I have created. And I've adapted it over the years and fine-tuned it. And I've called it here the practical partnership, but I really do consider it to be more of a partnership ritual. And we can have partnerships in many different forms. So we can have partnerships in business, we can have partnerships in families, we can have partnerships with our husbands, our wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, loved ones, romantic partnerships, etc. So there's a lot of types of partnership out there. For our purposes today, we're going to try something a bit more novel. So this doesn't require that you have a partner of any sorts. If you're thinking, well, none of those really apply to me. The way that we're going to play with this is applying it to the partnership that you have with yourself. Now, I use the word partnership very deliberate. This is different from relationship. So the difference between the two is profound and yet subtle all at the same time. When we have a relationship versus a relatedness, there is an interdependence on another to provide us with something that we think is missing in our own lives. And yet, if we're ever to be whole, that kind of interdependence doesn't serve us. So you can think of as we move into relatedness or partnership that it's about two people, or as we're exploring it just within yourself, exploring wholeness and coming from the place of being completely whole and having everything that you need here within you. When it comes to the exploration of partnership that we're going to dive into with this ritual or this form of practicality, know that it always is helpful to be great at establishing a space that feels good for everybody. So what I mean by that is if after you explore all these steps and then you decide you actually want to practice this with another type of partnership, and this is especially critical information if that is pertaining to a partnership that is more masculine in nature, meaning it's perhaps with another man or somebody strongly in their masculine, whether they're man or woman really doesn't matter, and that you find a space that works. So if you're doing it on an 8-hour car ride and there's no out and you're just going to dive into these questions and nail them into the ground and not let them off the hook until they get out of that car 8 hours later, that might not be the space to do it. That might feel very safe for you to initiate it, but it might not feel very safe for the other person. And you just won't get the same depth of responses. You're likely to more receive some level of stonewalling or just giving you the answer that they think that you want to hear just so that they stay out of trouble. So they're going to be more prone if they're feeling in any way, shape, or form trapped just a little bit to try to give whatever answers they can to just not get into trouble. And that's a really big deal. Most people come from that place of let's just, keep conflict out of this, keep conflict at bay, and dive into some level of people pleasing. It may not always look like that's the place that they're coming from, but it's often some variation of that if, again, they're coming from a place at all of feeling somewhat trapped. Okay, so to establish a space that feels right for all, I'd start by asking them. So I really want to dive into those questions that I talked to you about, and you had mentioned that you were willing to do that. When would be the right time and environment for us to do that in? And usually that looks like there's nothing else on the schedule for a period of time. There's nothing else pressing that has to be done in that particular time frame. And that the space has openness to whatever degree that you can create that, whether that's with a physical openness, like not being trapped in a vehicle, mental, emotional, spiritual openness, a willingness just to explore whatever answers come, without any sense of anyone needing to filter themselves. The critical foundation behind that is really coming from the place of just curiosity. What if no one was misbehaving? What if no one was misbehaving? What if no one is misbehaving? What if no one's misbehaving? This is critical. Okay, when we come from that place of curiosity and openness of no one's been misbehaving, let's just see what's underlying all this so that way we know and we can have a different sense of understanding and compassion, then that creates a very different environment of that safety, that openness, and you're going to get much different answers. I mention all of that because it's also true when we do it with ourselves. We just don't often grant ourselves the opportunity to set that up. So let's set yourself up to win here. So giving yourselves a slow, deep breath is a really easy way to begin by giving yourself space. And sitting here with the understanding, what if no one is misbehaving? That means you too. What if I haven't misbehaved? What if I've done nothing wrong? Is another way you could say that. Okay, then we're ready to begin. So I'll give you an explanation because sometimes some of these questions get misinterpreted. So let me give you a very clear understanding of these 18 questions and what it is they're after. This first question is one of my favorite ones to ask in every partnership. And that includes every time I teach a class, I often ask some variation of this. It might not be in this precise wording, but it's something along the lines of, is there anything else you need? Okay. And when you add the words, is there anything you need from me that you're finding hard to get? Adds another definition and dimension to it all. So, is there anything that you need? Often leads a broad open menu, and there's almost too many things to begin to choose from. Is there anything you need from me that you're finding hard to get? Clarifies it. I just have to look at the things that I'm finding hard to get rather than everything and anything that I might possibly need. It's a very wide open blanket statement. So give yourselves the opportunity to sit with this question now. When you talk to yourself, and it's fine to even imagine if you have Mindscape, that you can invite yourself in and ask yourself this question using all five senses, observe the answer. Is there anything you need from me that you're finding hard to get? And take the time here to really listen to everything you'd like to tell yourself. It's fine to make notes. Is there anything you need from me that you're finding hard to get? Take all the time that you need to explore this. Okay. Number two. Oh, Well, I like all these questions. I'm probably gonna say this about all of them. I really like this one. Okay, so what did you make up about me slash us this month? So we make things up about people. All of a sudden, we've got a story about why this happened and why that shouldn't have happened and how this came to be. And then we relate to that story that we've just made up like it's the truth. So you may have some lightheartedness come when you answer this question, when you just see the ridiculousness of the stories. So this can be a really fun process and silly and often will be completely wrong, and other times you might be right on the money. So make as much time as you need to sit and explore all of that. For the most part, I find that most of these stories are decently inaccurate. Even the ones that are kind of closer to the truth are still like off by a long shot. Okay, so really sitting here, what stories did you make up about yourself this month? Or if it's been a week since you've done this, you can say this week. If it's been 3 months, however long it's been since you've last done this process. If you've never done this process before, just sit here with this time frame in reference. What did you make up about me slash us or yourself this month? One of the common things that people often make up, especially in reference to business stuff, is I could have worked harder. And then often when we really look at, well, could you have? How many hours did you work that week? 60. Oh. Could you really have worked harder? Or would that have incapacitated you to do your next 60-hour work week? Just as an example, you'll have whatever it is come to you here. So again, feel free to make some notes. This can be fascinating. There might be some things here that you've made up about yourself that bears further exploration. All right, number three. And this one we often skip when we're doing it just with ourselves because we've just answered it. And when you're doing it with somebody else, which is what I'm going to explain right now, it would be what I fantasize that you made up about me is because we are so funny as humans, we make up stories about what we think other people are making up stories about. So, what it is you think others think about you, just a fun fact, comes from the left percuneus of your brain, which sits underneath your just underneath your temporal lobe, yeah, underneath the outer layer. It's just like one layer in inside the temporal lobe here, and only on the left side for this particular functionality. So, what it is you think somebody else made up about you. If you're doing with this with yourself, you do have the option to, make a note of what you think everybody else made up about you. But really, this is about partnership. So, are you in partnership with all those people? Maybe, maybe not. And not every relationship is a partnership, and that's okay. Be really honest about whether or not this is a partnership before you dive into answering that particular question. Hey, number four. Is there anything you're not speaking up about for any reason? The one big pointer I can offer when you're doing this again with the masculine in particular is after you ask these questions, give pause, give space. Rather than being tempted to turn it into a multiple choice question, are you not speaking up about this or about that because of this reason or that reason? Give them the opportunity and the space to find the answer that they are looking for to offer you as the best possible answer. Even when they say, I'm not sure about that, that's not an invitation for help. Just give them the space to explore that. Okay, so is there anything that you're not speaking up to yourself about for any reason? Okay, number five is, in a way, the flip side of that. Now, is there anything you're trying to provide me that I'm resisting? Is there anything you're trying to provide yourself that you're resisting? Are you resisting taking time for yourself? Are you resisting self-care? Are you resisting honoring the promise that you made to yourself to work less, more, better, these hours, those hours? Is there anything that you are providing yourself that you're resisting? Number six, how I experience, and you can select the right word that resonates the most for yourself here, but it'll be something along the lines of appreciation, respect, adoration from you is when you. This is such a good thing to get clarity on for yourself. So, how do you experience appreciation, respect, adoration? What is it that provides appreciation, respect, adoration for you? If you don't know, it's really difficult to ask somebody else to provide that. This is also an opportunity to point out to yourself or to somebody else how it is that you actually experience this. Related, number seven, what you did that I appreciate, respect, adore, and that I want more of is. And there's often really similar answers in number six and number seven. We still ask it twice because we're driving it home. This is not often something that gets a lot of attention from people. So if you're thinking, well, that's repetitive, I just answered that. Yes, be repetitive. Please be as repetitive as possible when it comes to anything that you're exploring along the lines of receiving appreciation, respect, adoration, or, well, anything else for that matter. We could all use that redundancy in spades. Okay, number eight. I forgot to thank you for. When was the last time you thanked yourself? When was the last time you thanked yourself for drinking water, for eating food, for moving your body, for sleeping, for all the things that we do for ourselves, and we often just do it on autopilot. And yet there's tremendous amounts of self-care happening and going unacknowledged. And it would perhaps be fair to say it's more unacknowledged here, the care that we give to ourselves, than we give to our little ones. Even kids once in a while blurt out, "Thanks for taking such good care of me, Mom, Dad." And yet, when was the last time you thanked yourself for taking care of yourself? This is kind of funny, but at the same time speaks very strongly to this point. I often hear people give me feedback to this of, "I forgot to thank you for, oh my gosh, I've never asked that question before. I guess that's everything." And that's it. I forgot to thank you for everything that you've ever done for yourself for the past however many decades. Yeah, so self-gratitude. It's a rich experience. All right. I digress. Let's dive into number 9. Okay, so again, this might feel redundant and repetitive, and that's okay, especially when you're doing it with yourself. You can't be repetitive enough here. When I did blank, I was showing my appreciation, respect, adoration for you. When I did blank, I was showing my appreciation, respect, adoration for you. Okay, number 10. And this might sound kind of funny, and yet it's a really important thing to have on a regular agenda with yourself. Is there anything we need to handle or decide about together? If that gets ignored, we end up sweeping shit underneath the rug that's really important to deal with. And we just get distracted. We numb out, cope out, dope out. We do something, whether we dive into, workaholism or online shopping or whatever it is you do to cope, to sweep all that stuff underneath the rug. This is going, well, a 180 from that point of view. And it's looking at what is it you need to pay attention to? Is there anything? There might not be. If there is, what is it? What is it you need to handle or decide about? Number 11 is more for other people, but you might use it for yourselves as well. The things coming up that you should know about are, this is a real kindness if you can share with other people. So even if you're doing with this process with yourself, you might want to quickly just see, is there anything I need to tell anybody? Oh yeah, this is that month that's coming up that I just never seem to have things go right, or this is the month that's coming up in which I usually end up getting a little bit of seasonal affective disorder, depression kicking in. Oh, this is that month coming up where I miscarried. And, I really want my partner to remember that day. And what if they don't know or what if they've forgotten? So set them up to win. Let them know this is what's going on and this is what I need on and around that date. So set them up to win. The things coming up that you should know about, whether that's an event, any sort of anniversary, a mood, whatever it is that you'd like to share, here is perfect. if you're doing with this with yourself, you could use it to set yourself up to win at a deeper level. Although you know that might be a difficult time for you, what can you do about it? So these are the things that are coming up. Now what? And really sit with how you can support yourself best during that time frame. Okay, so the next two questions have, well, two parts to them. So number 12, is there anything you're letting go of? And if there is, how can I support you? Number 13 is the opposite, in a way, not really. Is there anything that you're claiming, calling in, manifesting? And again, how can I support you? Okay. Number 14. The keywords here are right now. What I most appreciate, respect, adore about you right now is, and look for what's new about what you respect, appreciate, and adore.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please do, Sylvie.
Is it right now there, or is it?
In
It
this
could be
moment,
last week.
right here, right now,
Okay.
in this particular moment, what do you appreciate, respect, and adore most about you? We often run on old software. We often run on out of date information when it comes to what it is we respect, adore, appreciate. Like, oh yeah, that one time 5 years ago, they did that nice thing, and I've always just thought that they were a nice person for that. And we don't always update. Okay, what about right now? What is happening here and now in this moment? And what is it about the energy that's here within me or in my immediate presence, whoever you're doing it with, yourself or somebody else, that I most appreciate, adore, and respect? Look for the new. We get programmed, we live our lives on autopilot. So look for what's here now. This is the opportunity to get to know yourself, like you're going on a first date with yourself, or to get to know the other person across from you in a new way. This is your opportunity to re-measure. I'm paraphrasing greatly, and I'm taking this from Esther Beltheim around the concept of what is it we can do to remeasure other people. And the concept that she talks about is, my tailor is my best friend because every time I see him, he remeasures me. So in that same context of others and yourself, take stock anew. Take a refresh button on your web browser and press it and see what's here now. Okay. That's all the technology metaphors I should ever use. I'll stop there. I just get myself into trouble with those. Okay, let's go on to number 15. If that helps you out, Sylvie. Does that help answer question number 14 for you, Mutter?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Glad. Right, number 15. How can I support you in general? How do you like to be supported? Often we support ourselves and other people in ways that actually we're not always receiving, and ways that they're not always receiving as support. So again, that's just because we're living life on that autopilot and old software. So what is it that you receive and perceive as support? How do you like to be supported? And that can change. That can change day to day, week to week, month to month, minute to minute. So, right here, right now, how do you like to be supported? If you've never asked that question before, this is really critical to get clarity on. Especially when it comes to the arena of partnership. If you can't share how it is you like to be supported, we can't expect anybody else to know ourselves better than we know ourselves, nor can we expect them to play mind reader. So this is the opportunity to get clarity here, so that way you can ask for this, whether it's from somebody else or from yourself. And related, here's number 16. How can I appreciate you? How do you like to be appreciated? Number 17. And this might be easier to understand in context with somebody else first. So let me explain it that way first. Can we assume that if you can, you will? And the second part to this is, can we assume that you'll ask if you need something? We don't always set people up to win, as I've mentioned, and that includes, asking them to just simply ask you, do you need anything? You can let me know anytime. I'm wide open, and I'm always a yes without sacrificing myself. What is it you need? Ask. I'd love to hear it at any time. Or I'd love to hear it when I'm available. Ask me first if I'm available, I'll let you know. And then please ask when you need something. When you establish a partnership with yourself, that also means asking yourself for the things that you need, rather than again living your lives on autopilot, making it through the day, taking care of the kids, sending them off to school, doing whatever needs to be done around the house, working, etc. We often just live our lives because the schedule demands it to be a certain way. So taking yourself off of autopilot for a couple of minutes here, ask, is there anything here that you need from yourself? Can you assume that if you can, you will, and that you'll continue to ask if you need something? It sets up the stability and the foundation of partnership to move forward. Hey, number 18. What I adore, appreciate, respect about our partnership right now is, and this is focusing on the partnership itself. So what I adore, appreciate, respect, not about the other person, not about yourself, but about the partnership right now is, I have lost track of the amount of times I've answered this question simply with, that we have one. When I do this with Dave, because that's honestly the thing that I count my lucky stars about every single day. There isn't a day that goes by that I am not in complete gratitude around having a partnership. It's a powerful experience. And of course, whatever gets answered here is perfect. And so you might have a whole list of things come. It might simply be that we have one. That makes me really happy that we have a partnership. Okay, any questions about any of that?
No, it's good.
Okay.
Good.
Good, you're welcome.
Excellent.
So feel free to walk yourself through those steps as much or as little as you like. I find that in my partnerships, especially with my husband Dave, it's helpful to go through that, I find, on a fairly regular basis. So we don't set it up to do it monthly or on a full moon or anything like that, but you definitely could do that. That would be amazing. But we do it every few weeks, it seems, anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks. And we often use it as a form of reconnection. So you can also use this for yourself as a form of reconnection to yourself, just to sit there and spend time with these questions and sort some things out, get to know yourself again right here, right now. It's a really easy way to also get present with yourself. Often the reasons that we feel ungrounded or present, not present, or divorced from ourselves, and sometimes that can make us feel literally, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually sick or ill with symptoms on some level, is because we haven't taken the time to sit with ourselves, to date yourself again, to get to know you again. So we're here sitting with self and exploring self in a way that is brand new each and every single time, remeasuring self. Same thing when you do it with another. You can see how these questions can't help but offer an opportunity to reconnect and to establish a whole new remeasuring and renewing of that relationship. Or a partnership, pardon me. Okay, my love, so I'd love to hear your experiences on this. Please do share, whether you use this with yourself or another person or everyone you know. And by all means, any further questions on that, just also let me know. Without further ado, I think we have time, so let's do it. Let's do a little wrap-up body talk session here. I'm going to invite you to begin that by finding a nice, quiet, cozy place either to sit or lay and be undisturbed if you haven't already done so for this call. I'm beginning here by means of breathing, giving yourself some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Using every breath as an opportunity to release and let go. You begin to feel yourself sink even deeper into the cushion below you. Okay, so we're actually starting off in the masseter muscles, and in the body talk perspective, this is where we think the backup to the genetic code is stored. So as we're working here with cellular repair, know that we're really restoring the overall ability of the cell's health to access and be able to heal the genetic code itself on an ongoing basis. It's said that there's something like 11,000 errors or so a day, every 24 hours or so, that get repaired at your DNA level on an ongoing basis. So supporting that here, running cellular repair on the masseter muscles, which are located just behind your teeth. They help to open and close your jaw. You can literally make that chewing motion. Mastication is where they get their name from. And to anchor that, we're running TMJ to sacroiliac, jaws to hips, helping to take a bite out of life of new foundations is the way that you can think of this. At the same time, we are unhooking an emotion of worry, excess worry in particular, off of the solar plexus region of the body. So the abdomen here is included. And as we unhook that, it's also unwinding the fascia, the connective tissue, in particular off of the back of the solar plexus chakra. And then we're running diaphragm to intestines to help support the emotional processing. So diaphragm, center for emotional processing, as well as control, linking that through to the intestines to literally let go of all the crap that you don't need to hang on to, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Interestingly enough, this is all linking into the Wei Qi. We're going into the physical frequency. So this is the energy field layer that's allowing for enhanced communication, synchronicity, protection at the level of the physical. So think to things like bumping up against a table. If you bruise really easily from that, that's a sign that your physical Wei Qi is not so strong. I had one client who, in her late 60s, got hit by a truck and she dented the truck. She was fine, the truck was damaged. That's a sign of somebody with really strong physical Wei Qi. Okay, so you could also think of physical Wei Qi as protecting against the elements and things like infections, etc. So it's all defined around the consciousness of resiliency. And we're going to tap here, so give this all a few slow deep breaths. Okay. Next, we're running lymphatic circulation, and it's from and it's within, so it's addressing it on every which level that the lymph moves and circulates here. But it's actually just for the pancreas reflex point, or spleen 21 acupuncture point on the left-hand side of the body. So helping to feel the embrace of the universe, as well as receiving the ability to take up the joy, the sweetness, as well as integration to occur. And you can also think of this as helping to lock and load the switching technique because we're going to connect it to that. And we're also running lymphatic circulation for the key acupuncture points in the switching technique. So, coping, dealing with our stressors, here we're running lymphatic circulation for the kidney 27 points that are our switching reflex points. Looking at any underlying fears, kidney 27, think kidney meridian, think the emotion of fear. So, addressing those underlying fears of anything that's preventing integration of these eight sessions together. Okay, and we're going to tap here. Give that all a few slow, deep breaths. Okay. And we're going back into the TMJ joint and we're unwinding the fascia of the jaw. And the left joint and the right joint are actually different. So the left joint needs to rotate in a manner of, well, imagine you're moving from the bottom of your jaw towards the top of the jaw and then around in a circle. And then the right side is actually going the exact opposite direction. So it's also a circle, but it's moving from the top of the jaw towards the bottom of the jaw. So they both need to unwind simultaneously. And that in turn is going to allow for greater circulation of blood in particular to get to the frontal cortex, in particular on the left-hand side. Think of your frontal cortex as like the heart of your head, in particular as it relates to the prefrontal cortex. And governs things like our compassion, our empathy, our wisdom, our connection to higher self. When the jaws are jammed up, it's literally like we're going and we're clenching our teeth or doing like that little baby thing where they go, I don't want to eat it. I don't want to receive this. I don't want to take in that nurturing, nourishing experience. And it's literally locking the jaw from being able to fully take in and begin the digestion process here. Okay, and then that whenever the jaws are out, it's usually the hips that are out too. They are, but we're not quite there yet. There's another level of compensation that's happening at the base of the rib cage. And on the right-hand side in particular, it's where my anatomy is going to fail me a little bit here. It's where I believe it's the internal obliques meet the external obliques. I think that's their name for them. So think of it as just that like outer layer of our abdominal muscles meeting the innermost layer. Okay. And there's this adhesion that's stuck there. Abdominal muscles overall, you can think of as in particular the rectus abdominis, as ruled by fire elements. So there's something here that's been restricting expansion to its fullest. So as we unwind the adhesion, it also allows for things to expand. Okay. Now we've got the hips stuff that's been compensating for the jaw stuff, and we're going into more the left side here. And it's actually the psoas muscle that's tight and not allowing for proper alignment of the left hip. Okay, so we're releasing the psoas muscle. Excellent. All right, so all these levels of compensation for one another all basically shifting in parallel all at the same time. And we're going to tap that all in here, and I'm going to tap over in my mind all those individual areas, the jaws, the abdomen there by the base of the rib cage, and the hips in particular as well, along with the prefrontal cortex on that left side. So give that all a few slow, deep breaths here. Okay, and to integrate this all, we're doing the most powerful masculine feminine balancing there is by linking pineal to pituitary. You're also welcome to even just place a hand on the center of the crown of the head for pineal, or a finger and along with another finger or hand in the space between the eyebrows, the pituitary point or spot. And we're going to tap that in here. Give that all a few slow, deep breaths. Okay, loves, that is all she wrote for today. So stay with your breath to continue to absorb this all and know that there's nothing specific for follow-up or homework with this particular session. I feel like there's also lots that you could, of course, go back and re-listen to, including this body talk session, this whole call, all 8 calls for that matter. Can easily be gone through as many times as you like. So know that they're always here for you and they're meant to be used as an opportunity to reconnect to yourself and to all that you've been chewing on. So thank you very deeply from the bottom of my heart, and I know that I just so appreciate getting to work together in this way. It's my favorite way to work, is in this type of group setting. So thank you so very much. And as mentioned earlier, this is but a new beginning, and the doorway is always open for getting a hold of me with any questions, comments, queries as you move forward. Okay. So I'm going to sign off for now and give you all my love. Okay. Bye for now.